This message is continued from part one.
But I call it works of grace because, as we're going to see here, you can't do these real righteous acts, at least supernaturally, without grace. And yet grace is supposed to be not by works, right? So that's why it's an oxymoron. But there's a reason I use that. We're going to see a little bit of it, okay? Because I want you to succeed at this. I don't want to just say, go do righteous stuff. I want to teach you how to do righteous stuff, things that actually attract the Holy Spirit. Because if I want you to hang out with Jesus, so I got to have you doing things that Jesus is attracted to.
Yes. Yes.
Okay? Let me just say this. I was sharing this with somebody today. When Peter and John went into the Temple Beautiful, right? And the man was laid at the gate daily, and he was over 40 years old. If he was laid there daily, that means he was there when Jesus went by, right? Okay, so he went by a few times and Jesus never stopped. Why? It wasn't that Jesus didn't like him, it's just that Jesus could perceive whether somebody had faith or not. And this particular day, Peter and John went by and they discerned something. They turned to him, they said, silver and gold have we none, such as I have, give I thee. Okay, I'm going to take another rabbit trail because I told somebody this story. This is a true story. If I get some details, it's because I didn't refer to it recently. But there was a prince, a Germanic prince. They were Catholic, Roman Catholic, under the Roman Empire. And it was Prince Hamrick. And it was Pope Gregory, I believe. Whichever number it was, I don't remember, but... So anyway, he got in trouble with the Pope because he was criticizing the church. So the Pope excommunicated him, which is a bad thing if you're Catholic. So he decided he better do penance. So he goes down. The Pope was in the north of Italy. He wasn't down at the Vatican, but he was up in the northern castle. I guess it wouldn't have been the summer castle. It would have been the winter castle because there was snow. So Prince Heinrich comes down there, and he has to stay and do penance for a couple of days out on the... at the doorway, okay? So he's out there, you know, praying, let me in, I need to get back in the church, you know. Finally, the Pope lets him in, and there's Pope's, you know, showing him around, bringing him back in to the fold, and taking him through the castle, and showing him all the great glory of Rome, and the Roman church, you know. And he turns to the prince, and he says to him, you see, in the church today, we no longer have to say, silver and gold have we none. And the prince says to him, yeah, but neither can you say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He got excommunicated again. There's times when you should just be quiet. Okay, but that, I'm personally, I'm glad he spoke up. But I would rather say, get up and walk. But here's my point, is that when they went in, when the Sanhedrin called them in to the, you know, court basically, and say, look, we told you guys not to do this stuff. Quit talking in Jesus' name, you know. And here's what they said. If you think that we did this through any holiness of our own. Now you would think, well, you can't. You know, without holiness, no one can see the Lord. You need holiness, right? We need holiness. But I'm going to tell you, you're never going to get it by trying to get it.
Come on.
You can't get it by trying to be. The harder you try to be holy, the more you're going to fail. I'm just telling you right now, don't waste your time trying. Get close to Jesus. That's the only way. The closer you are to Jesus, the less you need to worry about it because it just rubs off on you. If you're hanging with him, it just changes you. That's, I'm just telling you the secrets. These are the deep secrets. No, these are secrets. They're not deep. But anyway, I want to get into deep things. But you see my point, though, as Peter said, it wasn't by holiness. Peter was holy. John was holy. But it wasn't through the holiness that he did. It was through faith and the grace of God that came down. And so if you're trying to be good enough to do the things that we want to see done, if you want to be good enough to see miracles, it's not going to ever happen. You're only going to do it if you're good enough to hang out with Jesus. Okay? If you're good enough, if you're meaning smart enough, to hang out with Jesus, you don't have to worry about it. People will take note that you've been with Jesus. The holiness will be there because it's His. It's not your holiness. It's His holiness. When you have the holiness of the Pharisees, it's not a good thing. But the holiness of Jesus, I mean, you don't want to shake. You can't shake it off. You know, if you've been hanging with Him, it just gets on you.
That's it.
Go get a good case of it. Okay. So the bears, righteous acts of the saints. And then verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true, the true sayings of God. Righteous acts might be described as works which attract the Lord. Grace may be described as that which occurs after he was attracted. We're not going to accomplish these things I'm talking about without grace. You're not going to do it with your holiness. You're not going to do it by your ability. But you can use your ability to put yourself in a position of grace. A man's gift will make room for him, but what he does when he gets in the room, that's character. Okay. Revelation 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Okay, we want to, I don't know about you, but we want to see that, we want to be in that spot. We want to be, this is a corporate bride, okay? He's not a polygamous bride. He's not coming back for many brides. But it's one corporate bride made up of those who have, dare I do this? Okay. Jesus, okay, I'll go back further. Garden. God puts a deep sleep on Adam. Because every night of creation, it's very good. I mean, it's good. Then he sees Adam and he says, it's not good that he be alone. First time in the Bible it says it's not good is when he noticed he created Adam, but nobody else with him. That's not good. So he puts him asleep. And he takes, remember, he made Adam from the dust of the ground, but he made the woman from his side. So she's twice pure, okay? More so than him from the dust. She's made from the same elements, but not from the dust directly, but from right by the heart, you know. And he makes her, and she wasn't called Eve until after the fall. When he first woke up and saw her, he goes, "This is woman," meaning the man with the womb. "This is my other self," he said. Okay? So from his side, woman. And in the first garden, which was perfect, there were perfect people and the bride chose to sin. But in the second garden, there's an imperfect bride in an imperfect world who will choose not to sin. That's what's going to separate the bride from the body of Christ. Not everybody in the body is the bride, but the bride comes out of the body. So Jesus on the cross. Now remember, Jesus went in the garden. This is not what I'm teaching tonight, but Jesus goes in the garden. The second garden was very important. The first blood that Jesus shed was in the garden, not on the cross.
That's right.
And where Adam brought a curse that by the sweat of his brow, now Jesus, by the brow of his sweat, bled to redeem our work in the garden where Adam put a curse on our work. So the first redemption of Jesus' blood was for the things that you do. Even before you got eternal life when he died on the cross and said it is finished. This is big medicine. But this, you can enter into eternity through these things, you know, into that place. Okay, I'm not saying die. But die to self and enter into a place of eternity where time now is not in existence. Okay? We can accomplish things in a place of no time by stepping into that place where Jesus says, "I am, not was, or will be." We could step into that place because it's not by what you know, but who you know. All right, so Jesus is on the cross and they say, "Well, gosh, he couldn't be dead already." What do? They take a spear and stick it in the same place where God reached into Adam's side. Same place.
Yes.
And out from it comes what? Water and blood. Now what does the blood do? It saves you. It cleanses you, right? Every Christian who is ever born again got born again by the blood of Jesus. But not every Christian comes back and is washed by the water. The ones that come back, that have received the blood, but now come back and receive the washing of the water of the word, that's the bride. She has cleansed herself and made herself ready. Who made herself ready? I mean, who made her ready? She made herself. Does anybody in here know 2 Chronicles 7:14? How does that start?
If my people.
If who?
My people.
It doesn't say if God?
No.
It doesn't say if God will do this?
No.
It says what? If my people, so if the bride who's coming out of the body, every Christian is part of the body of Christ, but only those that choose to be washed with the water from the word are the bride. I don't know about you. I don't think masculinity is toxic, but I'm going to be a bride with righteous acts, linen garments, and I'm going to be hanging out with Jesus. Amen. Now, there's other people going to heaven that aren't the bride. I don't want to be them.
That's right.
There's other people that are going to eternity that aren't going to the wedding. I don't want to be one of them. I'm not teaching on that tonight, but I am teaching you want to be in the bridal company. You want to be at the head table. Okay, this, all right, all right. How are we going to do that? Well, righteous acts, works of grace. The Lamb's wife, Luke 24:49. Behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued from the power from on high. Now that was what he told those apostles. We no longer have to tarry in Jerusalem. It's available to us. Now it's nice sometimes if someone prays for us, if we've never known this, and you can impart it to people. Throughout the Bible, when people had demonic things like in Samaria where there was issues and they couldn't receive the Spirit, the apostles came and laid hands on them and they got the Spirit. Even Simon the sorcerer, he was like, he had to get rebuked by Peter, but eventually he got it too. He had a wrong spirit, but he still received Jesus. Well, guess what? Most of us that receive Jesus, we still need reproof at some point. Maybe 5 minutes later, but then, you know what I'm saying. And we need to have a heart that we're willing to receive the correction, because if we really love the Father, we want to grow. If you stay as a baby, you know, that means you're not willing to receive reproof and correction. If you want to grow, then you got to be willing to receive what you get at that particular age or stage. All right. So there's authority, there's power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, martus, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That includes Montana, Idaho. That's definitely the end, you know. It's the last best place. But here we are, and we still got the Spirit, right? Praise God. Acts 4:33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. Okay? They hadn't seen a dead Jesus, but the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. How? Because they were operating in the power of the resurrection. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Even God did not give you the Spirit from Jesus until after he was resurrected. And there's a reason why, and it says so in the Scriptures. But I'm not going into that tonight. But I'm just saying, there's a reason he didn't take the Spirit before Jesus died, buried, raised from the dead. Because the Spirit of the resurrection, Jesus said, if you get that, you can die no more. Way different than Samson, way different than David, way different than anybody in the Old Testament. You can die no more if you get the Spirit that came with the resurrection. But if you have it, not only do you have eternal life, but you have the ability to walk in that eternal power now. That's the key, is we want to do something now that's of eternal value. And also, sparks fly and it's kind of fun. And the devil doesn't like it, and I like it when he doesn't like it. So, okay. But I'm not saying, when I say things like that, I'm not saying to be rash. But I have a perspective. You know, I like to use this example. Have you ever seen the movie The Bear? The little bear, and he's being chased by he's running away from the mountain lion, and the mountain lion's all, and he gets out on the log out over the river, and the mountain lion's coming out to get him, and finally the little bear can't go any further. And he turns around and he smacks that mountain lion on the nose, you know, and it doesn't really bother the mountain lion because he's going to eat that bear. But all of a sudden the mountain lion goes like this, and he starts to back up. And that little bear's going, I'm tough. And then the camera pans back, and there behind that little bear is Bart the bear going, you're not that tough. But you can act tough as long as you got Jesus standing there. So I'm just saying, keep that perspective. I have that perspective, so don't get in trouble because I acted the way I act. You know, you're not me. But if you got Jesus, you can do things.
That's right.
The devil will actually be afraid of you, even though he's been around longer than you and he knows more tricks than you do. But Jesus defeated him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. You can pull rank because of who you're related to.
Yes.
Not because of how good you are.
That's right.
I hope you're good, but that ain't going to get you any credit with the devil. Who you know.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to receive power. They did, the apostles gave great witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. All right. We're not going to do what we need to do without grace. You can't deal with demons without grace. You can't deal with angels without grace. Okay, they might deal with you. The angels get sent, and you may not have any grace. They might, there's a lot of guys in the Old Testament weren't saved, and they're like, the angel would talk to them nice if God told them no, or slap them if God told them to. But if you want to deal with them, you're going to have grace. And that's one of your promises as a child of God, is to have the grace of God. And there's things you can do that he'll do with you only with grace. So I want you to understand about grace. And we don't understand about grace. Have you ever heard, grace is unmerited divine favor, right? You've heard that.
Yeah.
It's not. So I have to, we have to do warfare the way the Bible says. And we do warfare by pulling down strongholds. Here's my definition of a stronghold. I used to quote Ed Savoso. He had a great description of a stronghold. It was just totally wrong. but it sounded good. Here's a stronghold. It doesn't sound as flowery, but this is a definition. A stronghold is something that you believe to be true that isn't true. And you expect certain results because of your belief, but you're never going to receive those results because what you believe is not true.
Yeah.
So if I can teach you something that is true, and if it changes something you've been taught, you now have had, we've done practical warfare because we pulled down that stronghold. So I want to pull down a stronghold of unmerited divine favor. Okay? Because, unmerited, think about it. Unmerited divine favor. We want favor. Okay, unmerited means you can't earn it. Okay, well that's true. I'm never gonna be good enough to earn it or deserve it. But here's the deal. Who cares? Jesus made it available for you. No, you're not going to get it because you're so good. All right, let's just state that. But if you've been taught that God only gives you unmerited favor, and there's nothing you can do to receive it, how can we get to a place where great grace is upon us? You see the conflict we have set up for the church? Let me continue here because I want to keep going on this because I want you to walk in power, all right? 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. So my words hopefully will help bring us to power, but the words are not what's important. The position I'm positioning you in is what's important, okay? So that when you're in that place, you say, beam me up, Scotty. You're in the right spot. So you say, beam me down some grace. You're in the spot to get it. That's what I'm saying. You're not good enough to get it. You're in the place to receive it. So I want to share with you how to get in that place. Because we can't do anything significant without it. And so when we have this stronghold of its unmerited divine favor, it keeps us from really walking in what we need to walk in. And we need to walk in. I want you to walk in it. Personally, I need all the help I can get from all my friends. So I want all my friends walking in, in power and might. So we have a company of powerful mighty. Amen. That would be fun. Alright. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching were not with pervasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Alright? Look, we all have to receive a personal empowerment. We each should become a personal witness or martus, and we each should disciple others to walk in this. If you learn something, even if you learn something tiny, share it with somebody else. Because that's how you put yourself in a position to get more, right? Here, the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus used this. We don't have enough food for everybody. Well, what do we got? So they gave out and they took back 12 baskets. Think about that. Not just food, but baskets even. Expanded. They started with one basket. They end up with 12 baskets plus all the food.
Yeah.
The law of the Spirit of life, you can give away. On earth, if I give away, I've given it. I don't have it anymore. Now, you still want to give on earth because God will supply it back later. But in the Spirit, you give and you have more. But you have to step into a different realm.
That's right.
By the law of the Spirit of life. But we can step into that realm. Jesus told us we could. He showed us how. And it's a lot easier for us than the disciples because we have the Holy Spirit. Okay? After they got the Holy Spirit, it was easier for them. 2 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, my son, be strong in grace and in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I say to you, be strong in grace if it's unmerited favor? If there's nothing you can do to get it or earn it, how can I say to you, be strong in it? But Paul's telling his son, be strong in it. He's encouraging him. You want to be strong in this. I want you to be strong in it. I want to be strong in it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. How can you have grace multiplied to you if it's just unmerited and there's nothing you can do to get it? Ooh, there is something you can do to get it. Here's what I've heard preachers preach. Moreover, verse 20 of Romans chapter 5. Moreover, the law entered in that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we say, we preach. Well, you don't want to sin. But there was a lot of sin there. And there's a lot of sin in Missoula. But it's good. Because where there's a lot of sin, there can be a lot of grace, right? And we preach that. You've heard it. Maybe not about Missoula, but you've heard it about wherever you're from. It's wrong. That's a stronghold. That's not what it says. If you have sin, you need mercy.
Come on.
You don't deserve mercy, but the only way to get out of that is mercy. Here's what it says. Moreover, the law entered it that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, is that present or past tense? It's past tense, isn't it? It's not now. It's not where sin is. It's where sin was. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Okay? So that as sin reigned, is that future tense or is that present tense or is that past tense? Where sin reigned, past tense. You want to get grace, you better get sin in the past tense. Now, how do you get sin in the past tense? Is mercy. That's unmerited favor, okay? Well, the definition is God withholding of divine judgment. That's mercy. But that is unmerited divine favor. You see, so when we define grace the same way, it's the same way we're defining mercy, subtly in the minds of the Christians, we're teaching them, well, you want grace and you don't want to sin, but it's really the only way you can get it. That's what we're saying without saying it. That's a stronghold. Don't think that way. And after tonight, you shouldn't ever again. Past tense. Where sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign, present and future, through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he even covers this a couple of verses down. Chapter 6, verse 1. What? Shall we sin that grace may abound? That's what we're saying without saying it, right? And Paul covered it. He says, what shall we sin that grace may abound? And he says, certainly not. Here's what I say. Hell no! Okay, now I thought about that before I said it. That word's in the Bible. And actually, Jesus said it more than the devil. I'm just trying to get the point across. This is serious business. So if you get mad at me for using that in church, at least it's not Sunday morning. Okay, so... So pray for my salvation. All right, but I'm telling you, no, emphasis, no. Don't do that. Paul wrote this. Don't do this, he's saying. You can't sin that grace may abound, but that's what we preach to people. But we say don't do it, but we're hungry for grace, so we want grace, so we want to go where all that sin is because grace can abound. That is a stronghold. It's wrong. It's a lie, and it tricks Christians into getting a place that the devil's happy you're in.
Yes.
What you want to do is hang out with people though where the sin is in the past.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
And if you got sin in the present, well, say, help me get mine in the past too. And a good way to do that is go out and do signs, miracles, and wonders. It's easier to walk in past tense sin and present tense grace. You know what I'm saying? But Watch who you hang out with and watch who you, how you listen.
Amen.
Pay attention to how you hear. Okay?
That's
guard
right.
your heart with all diligence. Step into eternity. Bring back power.
Yes.
Release it on the earth. That's what we want to be doing. All right. So, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom we also have access by faith into grace. By faith, not by sin.
No, that's right.
But see, I have to pull down that stronghold because it's pervasive in the church. And the way our minds work is we can believe this right now and we can believe this later. And they contradict each other, but we don't notice that. The Holy Spirit has to say, you can't believe both these things at the same time. But we jump back and forth because that's just, we're human. All right. By faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance pushes us into place of signs, miracles, and wonders. We grow in things. Okay. If sin were a prerequisite for grace, then Jesus could have never had any grace.
Amen.
And Jesus never had any mercy. He gave mercy, but he never needed it. But he had much grace. He walked in much grace. He all the miracles he did was through grace. Was it unmerited? I think he deserved it. The point was, whether he deserved it or not, he was in a position that God could use him and release the grace to him. And it wasn't because he sinned.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, wow. All right, is this helping you?
Yes.
In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. He grew and he Jesus increased in it. If he had to sin to get it, he certainly wouldn't increase in it. But Jesus Christ was growing and increasing in the favor of God. Wow. The Bible has a number of things that we can do. Okay, I'm not going to say whether you earn it, whether it's unmerited. I'm just going to say there's things the Bible says you can do to have God's grace brought upon you. For instance, it says, if we're humble, he'll give us grace. Humbleness is not sinning. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. So right there, I already gave you one little key that can help you receive some grace. Can you be strong in grace by being really humble? Yeah. Humility is a place that's not pride or self-doubt. It's a balance between those two extremes. There's times when you can have so much self-doubt, it's actually a form of pride. So that is not humility. Humility is in that balance in between. We can help each other walk in humility. God also gives grace for obedience. What a better thing to shoot for than to go hang out with, anyway. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. You can imitate that. We can use our faith to receive grace. Romans 5, 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope is something you have a vision for that you haven't received yet.
Yes.
And everyone who knows that faith without works is dead, right? James 2, 20. So if we're using our faith actively, putting ourselves in a position to receive grace, we now have the ability to grow in grace. If we grow in grace, we're stepping into a place where signs, miracles, and wonders begin to follow us, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm interested in that.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know about if Philip went to translation school. But I'm trying to learn these deep things because I want to see the things that are already in the Bible that say, especially when you have a prophet come up and say, this is your job. You want to obey. Well, all right, Lord, what are we going to do? Where are we going with this? But let's go somewhere and do our best. So I'm just doing my best, okay? I have been places probably that most of you haven't been, okay? Maybe I can teach you some of the things, but by teaching you, I hope I'll go even more places, all right?
Yeah.
It's not about the places. It's about what you do. And what you bring back, right? The encounters, how it changes. You can't be close to Jesus and not be changed. Okay? And if you're changed now, you can be different. You can do something different, all right? If you're changed, you can change those around you, right? And circumstances around you. All right. The grace we receive through following the true gospel of grace helps us to do those righteous acts, which I call works of grace. Amen. That's what's going to array you with that linen garment, is doing the works, oxymoron, of grace. By stepping into a place where God, here's what my definition of grace, it's not unmerited favor. It's God's empowerment in you, on you, through you, or among you, to accomplish with you, through you, among you, or on you, what you could not accomplish without Him. That's grace. And you can position yourself to receive that and release that and accomplish things and receive things that you wouldn't otherwise. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. I need all the grace I can get, and I want a bunch of it. And the nice thing about it, if I have some, I can give it away. Because it's the law of the Spirit. I can give it and get, and I'll have more. It doesn't disappear as you give it. It's not like in the world where you give it and you have to go earn some more. Okay, let me continue because I forgot to. He told me to turn on the microphone. I did, but I forgot to turn on my clock, so I don't know how long I've gone. So I've entered into a place of no time, I guess. But there's no minute. There's no minutes or seconds, but there's a moment, and I have to make sure I don't miss that moment in time, and the Lord will get upset with me. At least we don't have lunch after this. Then I'd hate to stand between people and their lunch, you know. So this is just between you and your sleep, okay? And you want to sleep because you have visions, right? And I mean, you want to have dreams, right?
So,
I'll tell you one of my sleep stories.
Did you say we're old?
No, but I do know you're old enough to sleep. So why waste a good sleep? Let's have a dream, okay? But I have to tell you this story, okay? Because I posted it this today, so because I knew some of what I was going to share, and the quote was, there's a number of people who have said it, but anyway, if you're going to tell them the truth, make them laugh, or they'll kill you. So I don't really want to be stoned, but okay. So I know the Lord, you know, you want to pray, you want to obey the Lord, but one time I was sleeping, I was dead out, and the Lord woke me up. He says, I want you to pray. And normally I say, okay, I just start praying. Terry's sleeping. You know, I just can pray quietly and just pray. I said, I'm tired. I don't want to pray. Okay, so he says, no, I want you to pray. I said, I'm tired. I don't want to pray. He says, all right, if you don't want to pray, turn on the light and read. I'm going, I can pray with the light off. So I thought, I better do this, it's going to get worse. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. This is going to get worse. So I turn on the light, and I just like this, my eyes are closed because I just turned on the light, and I reach over, and I always have, you know, books and magazines on my nightstand. I just grabbed one. And it happened to be, it was the Book of Enoch, and I'd been reading some of it, and I'd put it away. It had been a couple weeks since I opened it, okay? So I pick it up, and I reach for the bookmarker. And I open it up, and I got my eyes just open, and I go, blessed are those that sleep not. Blessed are those that are awake in the night season, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of spirits. Blessed are those that sleep not. I close the book, I turn off the light, and I prayed. So I don't want to stand between you and your sleep, okay, and your visions, okay. All right, but let me finish up here, okay. Faith without works is dead. We need the grace so we can do the righteous act, so we can be arrayed, so we can be part of the bridal company, not just the body of Christ, all right? All right. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14. Okay, he's going to receive a reward. One of the great mysteries is to become joint heirs with Christ and have a reward. You don't want to be without your reward. Remember, okay, here's an example from one of Jesus' parables. The wedding, and the people were asked to come, and the one man came in without his garment. The servants don't have a right to keep him out. Symbolically, I believe this is heaven, and it's the wedding feast, which is the beginning of heaven. Okay, the beginning of eternity for people that enter in is the wedding feast. The wedding feast doesn't last for eternity, but it's the entrance into eternity. It's a special place for those that have put on their righteous acts, which are the linen garments. But this man came in, and the angels let him in. He's in the wedding. But they told the father of the feast, he doesn't have on his garment. In the Bible times, the garment was your invitation. That's how they knew you were invited, because they would send you. I'm talking about a high-class wedding. They would send you the garment, and then you would put it on. That's how they knew you, because you matched everybody else. We still do that, but we do it for the wedding party. Okay, you do it for the best man, you do it for the groomsman, you do it for the bridesmaid, and you do it for the bridesmaids, I guess. But anyway, so point is, we still do that traditionally. We either buy it for them or rent it for them. So they're matching. That's how you know this is the best man and not just somebody that came in off the street. So that's what they did. But this guy showed up without his garment. But here's what we don't know, is that his garment was provided for him. It was an insult for him to come without putting it on. So the father comes to him. Now that's representing the father, who's hosting the wedding for his son, Jesus, right? And he comes to him. And here's what he says. I never knew you. No. He says, friend. Yeah. Friend. That's whole different than I never knew you.
Yeah.
That's whole different than, you know, you don't have any oil. Friend. How did you come in without your garment? And he was speechless. There's a time you don't want to be speechless. You want to be able to say, I have it. I'm putting it on quick. But once you get in, you can't put it on. You got to put it in before you get there. Friend, how did you come in without your garment? He was speechless. So they had him bound hand and foot and thrown into the place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not hell. Okay, I use that word again. Sorry. Hell is way different. That's fire and brimstone and eternal. This is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's a Hebrew idiom that means a place of deep regret, knowing what could have been but never will be.
Amen.
You can be a Christian and you can be brought into heaven and still miss out on the wedding. Now, I don't know what happens after the wedding. I'll leave that up to the Lord. But I'm telling you, you don't want to be that friend. You want to have on the garment so when they come on in. Party! That's a party you don't want to miss. But you see my point? There's different.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be that way. You want to be not only the blood, but also the water. The washing of the water. And if we're walking in that, we're putting ourselves in a position of grace. If we have grace, we can do works of grace. We can release heaven. We can release eternity. Now. This is time. Time's not our friend. But eternity is our friend. And we have the ability by faith to step into a place where grace that we can't earn, but we can receive. And we can walk in it. And we can be strong in grace. We can grow in grace. Much favor can be upon us, within us, among us. And we can walk in it. We can. We can do more than I can do. We can do more than you can do. I don't have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said. So we need to raise up a company that's doing this. Amen? A company of the bridal company that's walking in a place of having on these garments. And there's power in those garments. Power, spiritual power. Well, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Right. If we're walking grace, we're laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. That's part of the mystery that was kept hidden. Not only that you can have rewards, but that you can become a joint heir with Christ. It's a whole other thing, but joint heirship is bigger than just being an heir. And people say rewards don't matter. I had a professor in Bible college. He was like, I don't believe in eternal rewards. Well, the Bible says they're there. So why do you not believe it? But he said, I don't believe it because if heaven's really heaven, if you get rewards and I don't get them, you're going to invite me over. He was a socialist also. But anyway, so if you're going to invite me over and you're going to have it. Hey, you know, he might be right. Here's the deal. If we're in heaven and I have a reward and you don't have it and I share it with you, that's okay. But I get blessed because I got to share it with you. And nice thing about it, it's an eternal reward. So even if I share it with you, I still have it. When the 24 elders came in and took their crowns and laid it at his feet, they laid it. Don't you want to go in there and have a crown? That represents your works. You earn that, okay, by the righteous acts. You lay your crowns at His feet in worship. But the next time you go in, the crown's back on your head because it's an eternal crown. You gave it to Jesus and somehow it got back up there. You want rewards. And I always say, you know, if you get 20 cents worth of rewards, whatever that is in heaven, because remember that kid, he only wanted a nickel. Right? So let's say you get a nickel's worth of heavenly rewards, whatever that is. But, you know, whatever that buys in heaven, you have that to buy for your friends and then you have it the next time you need to get it. He said, because it's eternal. I don't know about you, but I want a full reward. But still, I'm just telling you the principle. We do not want to discount rewards. We do not want to come in and say, how come you don't have on your garment?
Right.
I mean, at least he's in. That's a good thing. You don't want to be in that place that crackles.
Yeah.
The barbecue pit. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't want to be there. All right. If anyone's work, which he has built, endures, he'll receive a reward. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, you can be saved. And you can go through the fire and lose everything, but still have your eternal life. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you're a Christian, you're going in. But you don't want to just go in with nothing. You want to build with wood, not with wood, hay, and stubble, but with gold, silver, precious stones.
Yeah.
Come to me and buy without money. You want something now. That's why Paul said, judge yourself now and you won't be judged with the world.
Amen.
Look, we're all going through the fire. It's just some people are going to spend eternity there. Some of us can go through it now and bring through those things that are eternal.
Amen.
And that's what we want. We want to be in that category. We don't want to suffer loss.
No.
You know, like it says in 1 Corinthians 3. And by grace, we can walk without that loss. We can walk in power. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I only, but the grace of God which was in me. Paul didn't get that by sinning. He got that by stepping into a place of eternity and allowing the eternal God to release things from that realm through him into this realm. By the grace of God, you are what you are too. So, but let's grow in grace. Let's be strong in grace. Let's have the power of His grace. Let's release His grace. Grace is not causing God to be indebted to you or attempting to oblige God to serve you in some way. It's placing yourself in a position to receive His favor or empowerment through obedience to His will. Grace is God's empowerment upon you or through you. It is His enabling you to do or to receive what you would in no way otherwise be able to attain. Matthew 20, verse 16. So the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. You don't want to be just called. They were in the place, the apostles, the early church, in the place to be blessed. To alter a little bit what the pastor said earlier about the glory, they put themselves in the place where the grace comes out. Under the spot where the grace comes out. Good works might be described as works which attract the Lord. Grace may be described as that which occurs after He's been attracted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What's the throne called? Grace. That we may obtain mercy. That's, you got to get the mercy because we're imperfect. But that's not where you walk in power. That's just where you get back to square one. That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When's need? Now. As long as you're on earth. As long as you're in this earth suit, you have need of grace. I'm just telling you. I've learned this from experience. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Paul had just got done describing to them, if you can do these things. Now, grace, God is able to make grace abound towards you. Did God want to release it even before? I'm sure He did. But now He's able because you've put yourself in a position. All right, let me pray. Stand up. Lord, I want to release your blessing tonight. Lord, not not just words of blessing, but a positional, a positioning of everyone here in a spot to receive grace even tonight. Lord, even tonight while we're sleeping, impart to us something that will empower us into the eternal realm, from the eternal realm that we can release in this time. Lord, we recognize that time's not our friend, but eternity is. And we are connected with eternity. So Lord, I pray that even now people's faith has been increased by instruction. We now may be able to walk in grace, be great in grace, be strong in grace, and be graceful to one another, imparting this so we can all rise up in strength as a bridal company, some group of people that attract the Lord to us. And Lord, as you said, you know, I'll come in and sup with you. And Lord, we want to supply you with something that you like to eat. And we know you like to have the linen garments. You're attracted to that. So Lord, I pray these blessings on everyone here tonight. I pray, Lord, that we learn to walk in grace, that we judge as we'd like to be judged. We do unto one another what we would want done to us. And that by that description, we will impart grace to one another and we'll receive grace from one another in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.